Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. We begin reading with the 19th verse. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. He glared at me from across the room, and I was terrified. I knew I was in trouble. I had clearly disobeyed him and done something wrong. He knew what I had done wrong, and I could just feel the justice coming through his eyes at me. And at that moment, I wanted to do nothing but get out of the room and run and hide and get away from this. It was my dad, and I was 4. And he had caught me, and I knew what I had done was wrong. And as he started to interrogate me, to this day, 50 years later, I can still remember thinking, I just wish there was some way to get out of this, some way to get away from here. If you think about our first parents, Adam and Eve, when they disobeyed God, Scripture records for us a similar reaction as that of me as a little 4-year-old. They didn't want to have to deal with God. They wanted to hide. They wanted to pretend it didn't happen. They wanted to shield themselves, find a good big bush, and hopefully that'll protect you from the all-seeing eye of God. That's a natural reaction in us with our sinfulness to want to avoid God. And it's that way for us with any type of authority that's over us. We sense a fear of authority. With somebody who has the power over us to potentially cause us harm, to potentially take something away from us. It might be a professor that you pass in the hall when you skipped his class just a few hours earlier. It might be that state trooper that you pass on the interstate when you're going a bit too fast. Some of us know that feeling a little better than others. We also sense this fear in larger ways, not just little ways like that. I remember at the time of 9/11, watching it on live TV, that our nation was under attack, and to see that some of the largest and you'd think most protected parts of our nation were now going to be under attack. The fear that could rise up in people, the sense that someone apparently of even potentially a bigger and more powerful and threatening authority than the ones who were out to protect us could possibly be that vulnerable. What a sense of fear rushed through our nation. The Bible is full of examples of how people are afraid in the presence of God, sometimes even just in the presence of one of his messengers. We think about so many examples, like the time Isaiah is allowed to see God in his holiness, the transfiguration of Christ, the disciples bowing on the mountain, the children of Israel at the foot of Mount Sinai, Mary, the shepherds, the night of the angels announcing Jesus' birth. There's a natural tendency in humanity, in fallen, sinful people, to just want to put distance between themselves and anything that represents God and authority and holiness. Why is that? Why is there such a natural response in us to want to avoid dealing with God in this way? Well, we know deep down inside of us and in our consciences, we know that God hates sin. And that's what we're full of. And we know that he knows everything about us. And his eyes go right through us. The things we hide from everybody else are not hidden from him. And he cares about every lick of it. Every part of it matters. It's not as though he's just going to pass it off. There's no escape. Jesus once said, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell." Have you ever noticed about yourself, I know I sure do, that when you're in the midst of something that is sinful and wrong, the last individual or being that you want to think about is God? That's the last one that you want to be thinking about at that time because it would be too fearful. Years ago, I remember preaching at a church. I was a guest pastor, and there was a man that came in late and sat in the back row. And during my sermon, he was nodding and looking at me so intently, and it kind of caught my eye. And afterwards, he came up to me, and he said, "You were talking about how we try to avoid God." He said, "I stayed away from church for 2 years because I knew what I was doing was wrong and sinful. And I just didn't want to have to deal with God." The disciples in our text have every reason to be afraid of seeing Jesus in this amazing reappearance. They had completely let him down. They had abandoned him. They had run out on him. They claimed they were going to stand with him, and they didn't. He had every reason to chastise them. And not only that, but now all of a sudden, right in the middle of the room, he appears in this fantastic, miraculous way. Clearly, the Son of God is present among them. God himself is the only one who could just drop into a room like this and suddenly materialize in front of them. This really is God. Remember how when Peter saw the great catch of fish and he came before Jesus who had done this miracle and he said, "Get away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." It was maybe that same sense of fear that rose up in their hearts and minds now seeing the visible Christ in front of them. But notice Jesus' words to them. His first words to his trembling, sinful, wicked, abandoning disciples. "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." And when he said this, we're told, he showed them his hands and his side. Peace. Peace between this holy God that you're so afraid of and you, the sinner. God isn't like an old grandpa who, when his grandchildren rip up his flower bed, he kind of overlooks it because he loves them. God is a God of justice, a God who hates sin and must, absolutely must, punish sin. But that's what the wounds in the Son of God are all about. This is where the punishment was carried out. Christ himself became the peace offering. The justice of God demanded that peace be purchased. It had to be earned with blood, with death, with a feeling of hell. There had to be payment. There had to be injuries. There had to be cuts. There had to be bruises and pain and death and a corpse. And this is what Christ had become. This is how the holy, righteous, eternal judge of all humanity now speaks to sinners like you and me. Peace be with you. It's as if Jesus was saying to his disciples and to us, you know, the thing that you are afraid the most about God, the thing inside of you that makes you the most afraid of Judgment Day, I have taken care of it. The war is over. You are staring at the peace offering. I'm it. St. Paul says about our Lord, God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, in Christ, and through him to reconcile to himself all things by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So when Christ comes to you through the mouth of your pastor and declares peace to you, when you hear that word peace from Christ, this isn't just being spoken by an ordinary person wishing to pass on some greeting to you. This is coming from the lips of the Almighty Son of God himself, the one who has conquered death with his own body and his own blood. And when he says peace to you, it takes on a whole new dimension. And so whenever your own conscience, like mine, sometimes troubles us and makes us afraid of dying and afraid of having to someday stand in the presence of God who knows everything about us, or if someone ever tries to convince you that God is still angry with you and at war with you, then go back to this simple word, peace, from the lips of Christ. God himself is the one saying it to you, that your sins are forgiven, that there's peace between you and him. What higher authority do you want? There is no more supreme court above this one who's telling you that there's peace. And as Luther says, don't do a large sin, the largest sin now against God, by doubting when he tells you that there's peace. And not only has your Lord Jesus found a way to convey this wonderful eternal peace to you so that you can live in that peace, but to maybe even underline it all the more, he calls upon you, the members of his church who have known about this peace now, to be the ones to bring it to the world through the support of his ministry, and even individually when you talk to fellow people who are struggling with their sins. Yes, you are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. Amen. Please rise. Today we offer two prayers, one on behalf of Gail Langhorst, the mother of Arthur Lydia Langhorst, and also Emmeline Ober. She will undergo treatment and surgery for eye cancer during this weekend and on Monday. And then also on behalf of Tim Harding, a soldier who's the brother of Michael Harding. He's in the armed forces in Afghanistan embarking on a major offensive. We pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for providing your servant Gail Langhorst with the proper medical treatment. And we now pray that you would guide these procedures to her benefit and in so doing bring healing to her body. As our brother in Christ, Tim Harding, now faces the dangers and challenges of war, we ask that you would grant him a knowledge of your divine care through your word, keep him from all danger, and bring him safely back to his homeland. We make all of our requests according to your gracious will and through the merits of your Son, our crucified and risen Savior. Amen.